We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Right now, Delegate Kirk Cox, the former Speaker of the House of Delegates here in Virginia, he's from Colonial Heights, longtime member of the General Assembly, is with us. And I wanted to have you back on the show, Delegate Cox, and I really appreciate you coming on because I remember how brutalized you were when you were the Speaker. Democrats constantly said publicly, privately, in their campaign ads, gerrymandering is killing Virginia. There's no way for us to have fair elections if the legislators pick their own line so that they get to pick who the voters are, right? The voters should pick the legislators, not the legislators picking the voters. Of course, Democrats were consistently picking up seats, and now they're in the majority. And what have they done now?
Yeah, John, thanks for having me. Yeah. What they've done is their Democratic Party of Virginia had this virtual convention, and they voted 1,469 to 233, basically, to oppose what you're going to see on the ballot this year, the constitutional amendment for bipartisan redistricting commission. And what they've said is, a lot of you know when you go to the polls, you'll see a Republican sample ballot, which will be a certain color, or a Democratic sample ballot will be another color. They basically said they want Democratic operatives to highlight on their ballot, we oppose the constitutional amendment. So that is what they've
done. So it's a 180 from them.
It's more than a 180. And, you know, we saw this, you know, the way a constitutional amendment works, you have to pass it one year and intervene election, pass it another year, and then you'll see it on the ballot this year. We saw them backing off last year when we only had a two-seat majority, and we committed through that we were going to do it no matter what. And, of course, they totally reverse course. And you even saw that in the legislature this year when 23 House Democrats flip-flopped from their vote from 2019 to 2020. You know, John, it's all about they've tasted the power. They want to keep it. Unfortunately for Virginia, I think we saw with the governor's ridiculous K-12 decision yesterday, whether we'll ever open all schools with any state leadership, that those policies have been destructive. So, but it's all about power.
Well, I mean, I think it deserves to be noted. Look, I mean, we can argue these things, but for 10 years, that has been one of the number one issues for Democrats. And they really pulled on everybody's heartstrings and their, you know, sense of morality and justice, and this is not fair. And then for them to do a 180 and act like everybody's just going to forget the whining of the last decade is pretty stunning to me.
I agree with you. They probably, you have to say, at least was in their top two issues. Mm-hmm. And what will be interesting, though, it's a political gamble because I think if you look in most polls over the years, you know, 70-80% are for bipartisan redistricting. So you're going against that. That will be interesting, you trying to advocate that in the polls in a very crucial presidential election. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the best political strategy in the world. But that's how strong they feel about holding on to power, that you would probably do something that hurts you politically in order to keep you in power.
Wow. All right. So we've invited the chairwoman of the Democrat Party of Virginia to come on and rebut this. I don't know if we've heard back, but if she wants to come do that, of course, I always welcome opposing views. Hey, you brought up the school system thing. You have been in public education in the classroom for many, many, many years. Your career outside of politics has been educating students. This really is a mess, isn't it? I mean, I want to be fair to the governor. You know, he and I are not on good terms these days, but I do want to be fair to the guy because it's a tough spot to be in. But come on. How can anybody function with this type of directive from the governor's office looking at September, October, November, December? I mean, we're just pulling the plug on these kids.
Yeah, we really are. I mean, he puts out a 100-page guidance document. You have to submit approval for plans. Localities are trying to do all that. And suddenly he says yesterday, or his chief of staff says, well, you know, basically it's all up to localities, and that's simply guidance. If I can say this, it is a tough position to be in, but we need to have options to open fully 5 days a week. You know, you can give parents choices that don't want to do that. There's Virtual Virginia, which is we're wrapping up, which is a pretty good online platform. You have the Child Care Association that has opened up now with about 1,000 locations, done it very successfully. They check the kids' temperatures. They put them in pods once they get there. They don't do social distancing, so once they do that, they've had really any incidents whatsoever. We can work on the liability issue, which localities are really scared of,
right,
especially if you offer choice. You know, we need a plan. We need leadership and a plan from the state to responsibly open to me, because if I can say this very quickly, the consequence for kids, we talk about poor kids, you know, especially that, you know, have food issues and have security issues. So you're basically saying you go 2 days a week, you stay home 3 days a week. They're not staying home 3 days a week. They're going to go to daycare 3 days a week. They'll be exposed in a different manner. I'm not sure that's more unsafe. And let's be honest, John, some of them are home alone right now because their parents are struggling to work. Mm-hmm. They need some better options and leadership from the governor. And this is a key issue. We need to be looking at this in special session. He's got to do more. And, you know, superintendents are in a tough spot. You know, you can see this with snow days. You know, if you have any snow on the ground now, you know, in today's climate,
schools close
and they talk to each other. And so if you're going to leave it totally up to them, their risk management people are telling them right now, hey, be very, very cautious. If the state's just going to leave them hanging like that, that is horrible leadership. I guess that upsets me about as much as anything that I've dealt with, having taught for 30 years and know what parents and students are going through.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're practical issues. This is something where it's going to show up really fast. It already has in individual lives. And, you know, we had Todd Gilbert, your colleague, who is the minority leader in the House now, representing Republicans. He continues to tell me every time he comes on, and I keep thinking somebody's going to take a hint listening to this show and shut this question down by actually calling a Republican and inviting them up to the third floor of the Capitol and talking about solutions. You're the former Speaker of the House. You probably know the budget better than anybody at the Capitol after all these years in the legislature. Even if they hate you because you're a Republican, wouldn't you politically, if you were the governor of the opposing party, say, hey, come on up, let's spend an hour going over solutions. Then A, he can say, I consulted with the other party. B, he might get a good idea, and he might be in a better place to solve the problem if you actually believe that anybody at the Capitol wants to solve problems. Have you been called?
I have not.
Of course not.
I talked to the governor pretty frequently the first year I was Speaker, and then once the scandal hit, it was over. And you're spot on as Speaker. I reach out to the Democrats all the time. You got to listen to the other side. And I'm a K-12 31-year teacher. You know, I do think I have some things to offer along that line. He had that task force, never got asked, never get asked about the budget. And I just think that's not how your representative democracy works. I mean, we have some good ideas. We talk to a lot of people, and I think we could be helpful. To your point, frankly, you'd be smart politically so at least you could say you did it.
Yeah, even if you weren't sincere, you could check the box and tell everybody to jump in a lake, right?
But exactly right.
I mean, this guy, but I guess he hasn't, he hasn't actually faced any consequences, so what does he care? It's really shocking to see, because Delegate Cox, I think you and I would agree, it's never been a Tea Party. Virginia politics has never been, the debutante ball, everybody being polite. But in general, I have always felt as an observer, an up-close observer, that Virginia elected officials really did want to get things done in a good way for the state, and they'd cooperate just enough to get that done. And I feel like that's been lost.
You're spot on. Our system was set up also to have vigorous debate. I mean, you have to believe in your ideas and believe passionately what you think is right. And sometimes with the Democrats, especially the governor, I feel like they just don't want to defend what they're doing. And I'm more than willing to do that. And let's have a good policy debate. That's what the system's set up to be. And to your point, it's not set up to be a Tea Party, but it is set up to have tough debate and come up with good solutions for people. And we're not doing that right now.
Yeah. It's pretty remarkable. And by the way, the lady who replaced you as Speaker has still, we've sent, a couple of dozen invites for her to come on the show and I'm not going to be mean, just ask questions. No interest in talking to the public here in Richmond, which personally offends me, not just because I'm the host of the show, but I think that's something you got to do. That's something you always have done, and other Democrats have done. So it's weird to me. But Kirk Cox, the Republican who represents Colonial Heights, member of the General Assembly and the former Speaker of the House, I always appreciate the chance to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Have a great day.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.